Ready?
1 second.
It's recording.
It's recording.
So, welcome to the 20th episode.
If I could whistle, I would. How many did you think there would be when you first started UFE?
Yeah, I thought we were going to get to the thousands one day. We're going to live forever.
Good God, yeah.
Before we start, I have to let you know that we managed to make Jim escape from wherever he came from.
Alcatraz.
He jumped out of the window. I drove with the car, opened the door, he jumped in, and here we are.
I jumped through the hatchback.
No need for Skypes. God damn it. So, Jim, now that I said my piece, I'm glad that you're here. We have a nice whiskey over there and some nuts, and we're face to face. Jim has been confined for a while, yes?
Yes, I think it's been almost a year. You get less for murder.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. So,
I'm blinking in the daylight of David's studio in Port Slade. Very pleasant. There's a view of the garden out there.
Oh. And so, Jim, do the honors. Where are we going?
Well, yes. I mean, who would have thought 20 UFEs? That's as many as, of course, Nadal and Federer have won Grand Slams. But not Djokovic. He's won 18. He's catching up, definitely. So, really, my first question, David, if we start at the beginning of our review of the Australian Open, is...
Yep.
Was the final result in the men's, and we'll come on to the women's later, was that down to Djokovic's brilliance or did Medvedev blow it?
Definitely blew it. That was a very disappointing ending. Not that I'd mind Djokovic winning, he's a deserving champion. But Medvedev, he's intelligent, he's calculist, he uses strategy. But somehow, was it the nerves from the final that made him completely forget his plan? Because he knew that Djokovic was going to get everything back. He was ready for that, but something emotionally didn't click.
I knew before the final Medvedev wasn't going to crumble, and I'm afraid I think he did crumble a bit. Jim Courier called Medvedev a chess player. He anticipates, he knows where to stand on the court. But I did think Medvedev would surprise me in the first set, even when he came back in the first set so well. He looked out of breath compared to Djokovic. I didn't think nerves would get to him because he had that super final against Nadal in the US Open a few years before. But I do think there was an element. He didn't play as well as he could. He's not the only player. Tsitsipas against Medvedev, I thought, was made to look not a great player at times by Medvedev himself.
Incredible.
But it was disappointing, wasn't it? We thought if Medvedev lost, wouldn't be like that.
Not like that. And never the way that it happened. And he got angry and... he was talking to his coach and complaining, and it's difficult to control his emotions all the time on court. And he admitted to that. But having lost patience to be there with... He was rushing. He was trying to win fast. And Medvedev is the opposite. He just stays forever if necessary. And he said it pre-match interview. He said, I am ready for 5 hours if necessary.
Well, the speeches might have gone on 5 hours, but the match certainly didn't. And so, yeah, Medvedev was ready. We know how brilliant Djokovic is. He played brilliantly. I thought Nadal would win the championship at one time. And I thought Djokovic's injury was going to put paid to that. Was it a genuine injury? Was it a great comeback?
Seemed genuine. He had the same injury like most other players. And there was lots of abdominal injuries.
Oblique tears,
and pull out, maybe. If we want to give credit to Djokovic, the others gave up. He went further than everybody else. Won that match and recovered until the final.
Well, we might find out because I think cameras were following Djokovic behind the scenes for a fly-on-the-wall documentary. They'll obviously want to massage the footage, but maybe we'll get more clues there. And I did read today that I think after every day Djokovic had a COVID test in preparation for going home, he was that prepared for defeat after every day of training or non-training or playing, just in case he had to fly home, which isn't the kind of behavior of someone
person
expecting to win. So maybe find out if it really was he overcame it. It's a great comeback because against Taylor Fritz, he really wasn't in it for those sets 3 and 4. Some fantastic plays, some great serving. But how many times have we been here before, David, when you've been saying to me and I've been agreeing a lot of the time, yeah, these young guns, one of these young guns, whoever is the young gun in form that month, they're ready to take over. The big three, they are going to be overtaken. Will that happen? Rooting through the postman's post bag, Leon Stafford has written into us and said it was disappointing Medvedev crumbled in the final, but I do think he will overtake Djokovic very soon.
He will.
Will that happen? How will that happen?
Well, Medvedev, when he faces Djokovic again, he needs to be in the right frame of mind. That's all he needs. He has all the weapons. He can beat Djokovic.
On hard courts, he can beat Djokovic? Hard courts. Grass, clay?
I believe so. I don't know about the clay, but definitely on hard courts. But we always come back to the same saying that we tell each other, which is, yes, Medvedev beat Djokovic just a few weeks ago in the ATP Cup, but it's not a Grand Slam and it's not best of five. It's always the same story.
These tournaments, the ATP Super 8 tournaments and below, they're like wrestling compared to boxing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Djokovic times it so well with his coaching team. There are so many similarities, I think, between Djokovic and Medvedev. They both look at their coaching team more than Federer and Nadal. And if things are going badly, you get the impression that they're blaming them and saying, why did you tell me to wake up and go and play this tennis match
yes,
today?
They do.
And they both collect points. They're both, you know, contrasting in terms of slow play and fast play. But let's have some positives for Medvedev. He hadn't got round past the third round of the Australian before this tournament. So he's done very well. Another great winning streak. And hey, his speeches at the end of a tournament, like Djokovic's, are excellent.
Fantastic.
It was great joking from both of them. And it's lovely to hear an anecdote that if I'm world number 4 or world number 600, Novak Djokovic would treat me the same. Even though Medvedev got Novak-sanated in the final, if you excuse the pun I've just thought of.
Yes. This is also part of the way Medvedev accepts defeat and the way Djokovic accepts defeat.
Yes, a very dignified speech at the end. It was a friendliness you don't see often between the ladies, although with their closing speeches, they were very nice to witness in the final two, Jennifer Brady and Naomi Osaka as well.
And what about Osaka?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked that. With the women's final, maybe a bit disappointing as well. Brady had her moments and was very good, but Osaka, she can just flick the switch, can't she, during a rally? She has that quality of hitting a winner you can't see coming when you're watching on TV.
Just
like
that.
You think, okay, that's a good shot from Brady. She's just going to try and get the ball back. Oh, I didn't see that angle. Where did that come from? And okay, it's a fluke, but then she'll do it again 3 shots later. So I think she is the world number one, just as Novak Djokovic is the world number one. So we probably got our right winners. I think she should be the world number one, and
yes,
I don't think she is. Disappointing final for the ladies too?
I was pleasantly surprised with Brady in a way because I liked her spirit. She was never negative on herself. She was fighting and she believed until the last moment. She didn't give the match away.
She did better than Medvedev, I think.
She did better than Medvedev. But I was disappointed that in a way we have another new Grand Slam finalist. And I'm looking for those rivalries.
Strange, isn't it? Because in the men's game, we want a new finalist and a new winner. But in the women's, we kind of see a new finalist as a sign that there's not that strength and depth. So we want our cake and eat it too. But yes, I do know what you mean. Yeah, I do agree.
Yeah, but of course, having said that, Brady deserved it. She played out of her mind and I was very surprised. But Osaka is growing on me. I don't really found her personality very attractive. But she's intelligent, she's calm, and she has every weapon that a tennis player needs to win a Grand Slam. Not all the weapons in the world, but her weapons are weapons of mass destruction.
Well, I agree. I think she has so many big weapons. She reminds me of Serena Williams so much. I think her build is even becoming more Serena-like.
Strong.
Muscular. But she's got a fantastic serve. She can thump it down the tee. She can send it out wide. And to a large extent, many times in her career, Serena Williams didn't have to develop weapons like a drop shot. I still think it's quite unusual when Serena Williams does a drop shot because she often has such power, she doesn't need to do it. But yes, people mention the Osaka slice. But I will get back to your original point. There are times I don't really warm to her. After I think she beat Muguruza, which was a great match, and Muguruza's had match points as well.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, maybe the match of the tournament on the ladies' side.
Mm-hmm.
the interviewer, on-court interviewer, asked a very long-winded question. And at the end, Zarco said, kind of laughed dismissively and said, that's not really a question. It's just little moments like that which make me think, that's a bit rude. The bloke's only trying to do his job. That running on the spot she does in between points, like the match is just a whole practice session. Yeah, kind of, I don't quite buy the kind of, I've got a new perspective. I don't judge my day by whether I lost or won on the tennis court. She was really pumped up for that final, and why not? You know, she was slapping her thigh. That's another of her mannerisms. She was great in Victor, I think.
Sharapova had that.
Yeah, she did. Not one of the most popular players, but I think Azarka is popular. But yeah, I'm warming to her a bit more. I thought Brady was very dignified in defeat, just as Medvedev was, and that brought out the best in Azarka too in her speech. She's still young. Mats Philander said that he expects her to win 10 minimum. What about you, David? How far can Azarka go?
Azarka says that she's putting goals like first get to 5, then get to 10. And that is a speech of a champion, definitely.
Five for the time is still a bigger ambition, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
She's won 4 now, hasn't she?
Yeah, 4. If I were to guess, if she plays like this, she can even overtake the 24 Grand Slams.
The big imponderable, though, is the French Open. I think she's had the best of the third round in the French
Open.
Even
if she doesn't.
And Wimbledon best in the third round. And it's the same with so many players like Dominic Thiem, Andre Medvedev. Can they play on all surfaces? Because someone like Djokovic, Federer, Nadal,
they're
like a good domestic cleaning fluid. They're
yes.
good on all surfaces.
Anything, all purpose.
Can Azarka, Medvedev and the others be like a good domestic cleaning product?
Medvedev is definitely going to improve on the grass. The clay is going to take some time. He said in an interview that he would consider a good year if he won the first round of the French Open.
I can understand that. So you think he's got a better chance on grass?
Maybe, yes. But you make a fair point there. Even so, even if she won only the Australian and the US, she's so young that she has time to get there. But I think she has to win a few Wimbledons at least. For Medvedev, I think he could definitely make a lot of success, even if he never wins the French Open. But it's funny because Medvedev has a defensive style. He's back in the court defending. Why is he not good at clay? I don't understand.
He's surprisingly good at the nets, but he's not particularly good at the nets. So you'd think, yeah, clay would favour him. He's a kind of street fighter. I mean, another surprising thing is his record coming from 2 sets down. I don't think he's ever done that, has he?
Never.
He's come from 2 sets down to get to 2 sets all, but he still lost the match against Nadal. And that's a surprising thing because...
Very.
Yeah.
5-5 setters lost, and then finally he wins one. All because of himself. He was angry. His coach
there was had a
great
prior
moment.
Engagement.
Medvedev explained it very well, and I believe it. The coach left. He immediately stopped directing anger outside, and he looked within himself. And from there, he changed the whole match, and he won the last set. 6-love.
Maybe that's the key with people like Djokovic, Murray, and Medvedev. That the coaches should just leave, and so they have to figure things out for themselves. Some players like Federer seem to be kind of self-managed in a way. Figuring it out for yourself is something football coaches emphasize. They want their team to think for themselves. Yeah. They can't be, you know, next to them on the court or on the football pitch. So it's a great quality to have. And if they had no one to blame in the crowds, then maybe they'd focus more on the match.
Definitely. There is a pattern to many players bullying their coaches. Or whoever is, what's the word I'm looking for? In their
box.
Much more attractive when somebody looks within themselves instead of blaming. Because what are they expecting to get from that kind of attitude?
It's not allowed, and to have coaching. Maybe it should be, but it isn't. So no need to look there at all.
Nobody to blame except yourself. You're alone in the court. That's it.
Yeah.
But that's what happens. They do. And in Medvedev's case, in that moment, it worked out. I think coaches should do that more.
They've just been used as punch bags. I did feel a bit sorry for Medvedev's coaching team. They probably need counselling after each day. But he was very nice about them at the end. They always are.
They look like they're okay. They're friends for many years, so I'm not worried. Now, let's reset a bit the conversation and go back to the beginning. Fans back. What do you think? Exciting?
Fans back and not back as well. There were times when there were fans back, and there were times when suddenly an emergency
came up. 5 days of curfew.
Came up. and they weren't back. I personally think I really miss the fans from an unusual point of view. And the unusual point of view really is I really hate the crowd noises they add to the TV coverage.
Yes, and that's...
I think it's so artificial. They press the button at the wrong time. And I would rather have silence and be able to hear what Nadal's saying.
Yeah.
Maybe even use Google Translate for some of these players too. But it's real, and wouldn't it be nice? Okay, I had a game on a public court and it wasn't that different from the match I'm watching now. And the Fognini-Nadal match really was a low point because the applause was so polite after each point, like they were just fans and some people attending a communist rally where you have to clap the leader. There are different crowd noises at different times of a match, aren't there? But I would rather have the real sounds from the stadium than have this canned applause. Like a computer game, I think.
Like a computer game. Well, I'm one of those, since I was a kid, playing tennis computer games, and maybe that explains why I don't mind it. But you made some really good points about it, and we even exchanged a few messages when we were watching some matches where the sound came in the wrong time.
Mm.
Even before the point was finished or after, or an appropriate sound unrelated to the moment. So definitely they have to improve a lot there. And I agree, they should add more sounds that are part of a tennis match. Having said that, the reason why I counter your opinion a bit is because even if it's a sound effect almost, we know that it was made by voices of paramedics fighting the COVID. Even if it's a bit artificial, I feel a little bit warmer sitting at home and listening to some sort of crowd. There is an emptiness between points that we are not used to in tennis, and I guess that fills the gap a bit.
But I think if they'd gone cold turkey and had none of the sounds,
yes,
we would get used to it.
Agreed. And I've watched a few tournaments before the Australian Open where there was no sound effects, and I got used to it, so it's not that bad. What I didn't get used to is the fact that the Hawkeye did all the calls, there was no drama. There was no complaining. Everybody just sticks to their guns. There's no challenge.
Tell us about that. Why was Hawkeye putting all these umpires and line judges out of a job? Why was that?
Wasn't it because of the COVID?
I suppose to reduce the risk, really.
Yeah.
You hardly saw anyone challenge them. But I don't know if you found this, but occasionally I'd look at the call and go, hang on, that was in or that was out. And you'd think Hawkeye must be wrong. And they'd show the replay. And even the commentators would sometimes say, it looked a lot closer than that. Is Hawkeye foolproof? Is it always right? I don't trust Hawkeye.
Me neither.
Neither did Federer.
Yes, it's true. There's a funny thing about this Hawkeye. Not only it removes human side to the match, it removes warmth, it removes drama. It also creates this cold environment where it almost, again, computer game, it looks like they're just there hitting the balls and there's no... It's very strange. And what I'm really scared of, the people that work for these tournaments might take that as a great example and have the feeling, oh, there's no drama, let's keep the Hawkeye like this. And this example that these tournaments are giving is going to give bad ideas to all the other courts, and one day we're out of linesmen. Even the umpire doesn't do anything. He just calls the score. It's very sad.
I would be very sad about that, because I prefer people having jobs to machines taking over the jobs. I mean, I've seen 2001 A Space Odyssey, and I know the dangers of a computer,
yes,
taking decisions and overriding humans.
Exactly.
We all know how that ended.
and it
didn't end. And
very
well, at
well.
All, I mean, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, the line judges would be, you know, old men who just, their wives wanted them out of the house and they quite like tennis, and you'd see them asleep on their chair. And the players in the stars would sometimes go over and wake up the line judge and everyone would laugh. And this is the human element that you're missing.
Yes.
John McEnroe goes to the other extreme, and I don't think it's a bad idea, where he thinks maybe the players should call their own lines.
I know. He
and
goes
I know
really
that would
extreme.
manufacture arguments, but it was so sterile that there was no confrontation and no human element and no negotiation.
No.
I like the kind of old system we had where a player would have to challenge and guess. It was down to them if the ball was called out and it wasn't out. It was their fault for not challenging.
Yes.
I do miss that. I hope it's just a temporary measure. You just never know. You
yeah.
really don't.
On the other hand, yeah, there's always the argument of there's more flow, there's less complaining. We stick to the tennis match instead of all the shenanigans. And there is more accuracy if the Okai is Drew. But here's a funny thing I wanted to pass by you. Did you notice that, I don't know if it was in the semi of the women's or the final, did you notice what happened? Okai didn't call one out, and it was on all the matches I've watched, there was one call out by the umpire, and it was actually immediately accepted by everyone.
Well, that is interesting.
What happened there?
I don't trust Hawkeye. It's the same with DNA when someone's convicted of murder and the scientist said, well, DNA says there's a 1 in a billion chance that someone else did this murder. We've looked at the DNA. And that's great, but how do you prove that? I'm not a scientist. I'd be very annoyed if I got convicted of murder on DNA because we trust the scientists, don't we? I don't trust the science. In this day and age with COVID, we trust the scientists. But I think with tennis, I trust them a bit less.
Yes. I do hope that they don't take it on. We want the Lions judges back. We want the umpire to do more decisions. And we want the umpire to calm down the players when they're heated up.
Should the tournaments have gone ahead, do you think? Because there's much debate about whether it should have gone ahead.
Here goes another very interesting conversation, which I bounce back to you quickly by asking what happened there with the privileges of some players and others not, some being stuck for 2 weeks and others not. Azarenka clearly suffered from that because when she got out of quarantine into the tennis court, her electricity was so high that she was running between serves that she couldn't even control her emotions.
Like a dog who'd been cooped up and then suddenly taken for a walk. Not that she's a dog, she's
exactly.
A lovely, lovely lady.
But to answer your question, I'm very glad that it went through. Maybe it was necessary, all that they've done. I don't know if I would agree with all the choices made, but then who am I to be able to judge the situation, not being in Australia and not really knowing what's going on in there.
True. And I don't quite understand what happened. What seemed to happen is if you were on the wrong flight and someone tested positive, then you had to serve quarantine for longer.
And some players complained.
But then a lot of the elite players seem to be stationed in Adelaide. Maybe they traveled over by private jet rather than a mass flight from certain areas. But players like Djokovic, Nadal and others seem to have more privileges, seem to be allowed out for longer, posing on their balcony.
Yes.
The conditions and the argument put forward is they've earned their privileges. They seem to have bigger playing entourages with them as well. Then whereas other players had maybe one or two were allowed. So that didn't seem fair. Unfortunately, it would have been a great gesture, but this isn't human nature. If people like Djokovic had said, we're allowed out for the players in other hotels who've been on the wrong flight are only allowed out for 3 hours a day to practice, we'll only go out for 3 hours a day so we have an even playing field. But in sport, you take any advantage that you can get. They would say, well, we started off at the bottom. We started off playing on the outside courts of Wimbledon. So we've earned this privilege to be on our balcony.
That's a good point.
To have better gym equipment in there. So it's a kind of, I noticed during the tournament as well, it's strange the differences. Medvedev seemed to have a lot of matches in the heat of the day. That must have been incredibly tiring for him, whereas other players seem to get all the night matches.
Yeah.
So there's always this disparity. Do you think
there's
these top
always.
Players have earned the right to get extra privileges? Or should it be more of an even playing field?
Brady was one of those that was stuck
was the exception.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And she got to the final. So whoever has the will and the skills and the mindset to win a Grand Slam or get to the final, no matter the obstacles, they will get there.
Well said.
But having said that, I think there's never going to be a way to balance everyone the same way. There's always going to be people that they made a lot more money to these organizers by being so good at what they do. And it's very difficult because the world is never going to have a perfect balance when it comes
to... Life is unfair, isn't it?
Yes.
I thought there would be more Bradys. She was the exception. She was under tough quarantine conditions. And yet she did magnificently reach the final, arguably an easier side of the draw. But I thought more people would have that spirit. They go, we've been cooped up. We've had to play tennis against a mattress, whereas Nadal and Djokovic have been smoking cigars in their jacuzzi. And I thought that would give them the hunger. but it didn't work out like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of them went out early. So I am surprised that that happened. I thought there'd be more bloody-mindedness amongst the people who were restricted.
I like that, bloody-mindedness.
So David, we haven't talked about a lot of players. Can I play a little game with you where I mention players and you go, good tournament, bad tournament, mm-hmm. or brilliant tournament? So I'm going to start with one of our favourite players, Nick Kyrgios. Good tournament, bad tournament, or great tournament?
Good tournament. What about you?
Yes, I would agree. I don't think it was a great tournament because he was two sets up against Dominic Thiem.
Come on.
But he lost and we thought, hey, it's Dominic Thiem. There's no disgrace in that. And then Dominic Thiem went out. But I think he played superbly. He can do everything, the underarm serve. I just wish he would do more. It's not a great tournament, but it's a good tournament, which sums up Nick Kyrgios.
He lost that match from the moment he was at the net. He had an easy volley to finish the game in the fifth set to go 3-2 up. And he decided to do a tweener volley that hit the net. And from there, he was broken and he lost the match.
Nick Kyrgios, it's like he's playing a different sport sometimes.
It was a shame because it's just part of his personality. He cannot do more than 5 points correct. He has to come up with some trick. So that's what lost him this tournament, because he was playing, and I believe that he could reach maybe a final even. Hey, next.
Dominic Thiem.
Very disappointing. And of course, that is a high intensity sport. It's not easy, but he gave up on that match. And he was not up for it. And it was a bit painful for a fan because...
Do you think he gave up or he was injured?
He gave up. He was just not going for it. Maybe he was a bit injured, but there you go. Then we have guys like Djokovic that say, I want to win this.
Is it the curse of winning a Grand Slam? There's often a falling away of form after someone wins their
first Grand
Slam. You
said that once. That's true, isn't it? It could be. But then again, I don't know. I have this feeling that I expect them to have a bigger hunger. Just, I'm not going down until I win this.
Well, it was the French Open all over again. You know, he's playing his friend Diego Schwartzman. And the final few shots just suggested he was resigned
there
to
you go.
Defeat.
But
in
it's
a
not
match,
the first time.
Great match he could have won. And he was so friendly at the end. It's lovely to see. But you do think, how disappointed are you? That's a very pally celebration at the end. And I know he's a very sporting person. But great comeback against Kyrgios. And you thought, maybe it puts Kyrgios's performance into perspective. The fact we thought he was great, but he lost to someone who lost so easily to Dimitrov, who lost so easily the next round. Maybe there was an injury with Dimitrov.
He was, yes.
To that next round.
Funny, isn't it?
But I would say it was a good tournament from
good
someone
tournament.
We expect great things from.
Good, but disappointing at the end.
So we're moving on now to Tsitsipas.
Great tournament.
Great.
Not good? No, great. I mean, beating Nadal,
fantastic.
Even though it was Nadal's lack of confidence that helped Tsitsipas as well, but Tsitsipas stayed on it. And I am pleasantly surprised by Tsitsipas' performances this tournament. I think he can definitely do better, but maybe this is the inspiration for a better next few months.
I thought the result against Nadal was fantastic. I didn't see it coming when he was two sets down.
Yeah.
Frew McMillan called it perfectly. He said, this reminds me of the Tsitsipas Djokovic French Open semi-final, and I thought, no, he's not going to come back to two sets all, and we know what happened in that match anyway. But he did come back and he won it fantastically, but not the great tournament it promised to be. And it's fantastic he's closed down Nadal. Beating him is a real landmark. But
yeah,
the golf with him and Medvedev, his big rival, we're not going to get them together on UFE. Your furniture is too valuable. But that seems to be as wide as ever.
Yes. Medvedev doesn't like Tsitsipas. It was obvious on the court. He was constantly bullying him. Did you notice that? For example, when Tsitsipas threw the bottle to the floor, Medvedev was actually complaining to the umpire about that. And I think Medvedev went overboard there. I think
that
there
was
a bit
sneaky, but in my mind,
it was
a kind of devilish grin on his face when he was doing
and
it.
And I liked it. I liked it.
He was almost looking at the camera when he was doing it.
Yes. It spices up things. It makes it interesting. Definitely some devil there.
Right. This is an interesting one. I'm really interested in your answer to this. Alexander Zverev.
Oh. He was playing very well throughout the championships. But suddenly, who did he lose against?
He lost to Djokovic.
Exactly. Oh, that match. Yeah. I don't know, you know, it always feels like he has the match in his hands. Always feels like that. And somehow he just doesn't manage to cross the line. And this happens over and over again. I don't know what's missing.
So good, great, bad?
I'll give him a good just because he reached Djokovic. And losing to Djokovic is no thing to criticize, to be honest.
I'm going to give him in between good and great because I think he pushed Djokovic the closest. I think he was in control for parts of the matches. Mm-hmm. I don't think he threw it away. Okay, you're sure he did some double faults, but I think he is improving on that.
He got nervous in the moments that were important to win.
Yeah, I think he proved that he has the game for the front of the court.
So why does he collapse all the time? He never reaches it.
Well, that's a question for someone like Ivan Lendl, if he can get back with him again. There are less early collapses and less five-set matches.
Mm-hmm.
He'd get dragged into five-set matches each round, but now he's winning quite cheaply in the early rounds.
You got a good point there. He has it all, and he played well.
Do you like his basketball clothes?
No.
Well, Nadal used to wear a sleeveless top, so what about him? What was his tournament?
Nadal?
Good, bad, or brilliant?
Nadal was on fire. Even against Tsitsipas, he was, at a certain point at that match, it looked like Nadal was playing the best he has ever played in history. And suddenly, he missed a smash, and it was all over from there.
He's normally so good at smashes
best.
Compared to the top players. Djokovic mucks up quite a bit. It's more like a bowling action.
Federer and Nadal are the best.
But yeah, very surprising. He's so good at smashes.
Yes, I haven't seen Nadal lose his confidence like that in a long time.
I think it's several times recently I've seen him looking a bit tired when it gets to matches get a bit longer and he gets pushed. I do think maybe this is the start of the end.
I had that feeling too.
We've written him off before,
yes.
But I think there was a sign I'm not really up for this fifth set, which is so unusual with Nadal.
So
he's a great fighter, great sportsman, very sporting in defeat. But I think Tsitsipas was a bit surprised. He was like, really? That we're shaking hands at the net now? I thought, yeah.
Strange, wasn't it? Age is catching up, injuries. And even, maybe, I might be wrong by saying it, reaching the 20, that hunger, maybe dropped a bit. A 20 with Federer, of course he wants the 21 and the 22. But in the back of his mind, he's like, I still have the French. I can still get a few more slams there. I can start resting up and letting it go.
I thought his form in the early rounds, I thought he was going to win the tournament.
The whole thing.
It brings me, we always mention Nadal, we've got to mention Federer in the same breath. I know he wasn't at the Australian Open, but watching from his castle high up in the clouds, how would you think he would feel about watching the tournament? Do you think it was a good tournament for him? Would he prefer Nadal to win or Djokovic? Or
never Nadal. That's out of the question. Definitely the three of them are fighting for it. And funny how Djokovic is the only one that really admits in the interview. He said, as long as they go, those two, I will still go.
Yeah, and he's honest about it.
And he's honest about it, whereas Nadal and Federer are not.
Yeah, I think Nadal and Federer is just like, what record is this?
I don't buy it.
I pick up my racket. My coach tells me what court I'm playing on. I don't read the newspapers.
I don't buy it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Nobody buys that.
I think it was a bad tournament for Roger Federer. I don't think it was entirely his fault. But I think before the tournament, when an Australian Open administrator said, yes, that I've talked to him and the reason he doesn't want to go is his wife doesn't want him to be away from home.
Too.
And that makes Roger Federer, rightly or wrongly, look a bit stupid, like he wasn't being honest about the reason.
Agreed.
And now he's controlled by his wife. So that was a stupid thing for the Australian bloke to say.
I agree. Although it can score him some points to the, you know,
for
the
women's
wives.
Libbers.
The wives.
Exactly. And let's not forget women too. Simona Halep
was definitely playing well, but she faced a Serena Williams, was on the day at her best. And there was nothing Simona Halep could do that day.
What about the lady she beat, I believe, in the previous round? Your champion, Swiatek.
Yes, she was actually the loss that got me more. Even more than Medvedev losing at the end, I was sad to see Swiatek lose like that because she just has this game that beats anyone, just like Osaka. But she's young. She has some things to learn.
How old is she?
19, I think.
That is young.
Yeah, or yeah, 19. And she lost that match. It was not the opponent that won it. She just crumbled.
Right, that is frustrating.
I wanted her to start dominating the whole world and reach 30 Grand Slams. But she has a little bit of, you know, going back to the drawing board and evolving.
Well,
what about you?
You know, we say Rome wasn't built in a day. Yeah, I'm sure she'll be back. Maybe it was because she wasn't wearing a kind of white Foreign Legion French Open outfit. Maybe that drowns
yes.
drowns her chances there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, Serena Williams, we have to talk about her.
Because
everything's about her. I think even with Osaka winning, there was still probably more press coverage of Serena Williams.
It was, wasn't
and,
it?
And her quest. So good, bad, brilliant tournament.
I think that was a very positive tournament. At her age, 39, she put a lot of work. She even left the press conference crying. I've grown to respect her. I think she could definitely be a bit less self-centered. She even wears a necklace that says Queen. You notice that? I found it.
I did. Someone sent me a text message with the picture on it. I nearly choked on my porridge.
So I think she's too self-centered, and maybe that's one of the problems. But then it's also one of the things that make her the great champion she is. I want her to reach the 24th because I think she deserves for what she's done. And she reached so many finals and lost. But it's getting harder and harder, not only physically, but mentally. It was obvious that she's working on her fitness. She was fitter than all the other
her
tournaments.
Her retrieving was
very impressive.
And again, it was a lot of her mistakes were when she wasn't running onto balls, when the ball was coming at her, a body shot, she couldn't get out of the way and she was just kind of fending it off. But she puts pressure on herself. She's not the queen, is she? It's Osaka is the number one. And she puts pressure on herself too. Her husband's in the stands.
Pressure.
Did you see the t-shirt her husband was wearing in the stands? It had world's greatest female athlete in
yeah.
a big picture of Serena. And the word female, there was a cross through it to
yes.
say not world's greatest female athlete, the world's greatest athlete. But that's adding pressure on her. I know she can't control what her husband wears, but just try and sneak under the radar. Maybe have a bit more of that attitude of like, hey, I'm just turning up because I love tennis. I'm not after the record. I want to stretch myself to my
exactly.
full limit. But I think she played fantastically during
she
the
did.
Tournament. I'm going to say she had a very good tournament. It wasn't quite great, but I mean, beating Simone Halep so easily. Again, like Osaka, she can flick the switch.
Serena had something different about her this tournament. She was more calm, had more humility in her. She was more...
There was one nice
there was
moment
something
in the
about
match
it.
She watched. I watched where
she,
I think she
smiled
during a point.
Yes, a bad moment.
And it was very human. Almost made me warm to her.
And Serena was actually very happy. And she was taking it on a stride, going calmly and enjoying the tournament. But
then
she
ended up playing a mirror, and the mirror is always going to win.
Yeah, it was not going to happen. Osaka was meant to win this tournament.
Yes, I think so. I think, will Serena do it? Everyone says her best chance is at Wimbledon. Also, another question for you, David. She was tearful at the conference. There was a big wave goodbye. Was that a goodbye, or did she have indigestion?
I think it was emotion. In that moment, she was sad that she had to leave the court because she wanted to be back for the final.
Yeah.
I'm so
and that,
sorry
that she couldn't
to leave.
Put her best game out there against Osaka, maybe have a three-set match. There were some disappointing shots, weren't there?
Yeah.
But maybe we're underestimating just how good Osaka was, making Serena look ordinary,
yeah.
make her not be able to clear the net.
If it was not for this pressure she creates upon herself, she would already be on almost 30.
Which is why I think she might equal the 24 away from Wimbledon when she's under the radar more. I just wonder whether people think her last great shout is at Wimbledon, but I wonder if it'll be at the US or the Australian.
Maybe you got a point.
People are expecting her less, and that those hard courts to be a bit more forgiving kind of on
that's
those
true
limbs.
Although I think it's at the Wimbledon that she's going to make it. I think that's her chance.
Well, the big advantage is there's probably less obvious candidates to win Wimbledon.
True.
Yeah, we'll see. There's quite a
yes.
few one-time winners in the field of Wimbledon.
Here's one guy for you before you continue. What about Karatsev?
Well, you've gazumped me because I was going to introduce kind of categories, some prizes for all the players who didn't win the tournament in the Australian
mm-hmm.
Open. As a consolation, the UFE awards for the most promising newcomer, and it would have to be Karatsev, wouldn't it?
Suddenly, out of the blue.
But on the women's side, I want to predict who your most promising newcomer would be.
Okay.
She's not very new.
Yes.
She's about 35 years old, but she's one of your favourite players.
Ah,
so Karatsev, and you're going to pronounce it.
Shuei.
Now, she was a player I thought you made up just to play a trick on me.
I know. How about that? But she finally got the spotlight.
I believe she is real.
She's the most wonderful tennis player I have ever seen in my life. By personality and game.
What's so unusual about her game?
Well, first of all, it's her personality. How she's quirky and funny and not taking life so seriously. There's something about her that is just wonderfully beautiful. And then the game. And finally, this US Open, she got the spotlight she deserved all these years. She's been kind of, people are not paying attention.
She's a good doubles player, isn't she?
She is. She won a few Grand Slam tournaments in doubles. But the way she plays the game is unlike anybody we've ever seen in our lives. She understands tennis not as a sport with rules and techniques, but a physics match.
Like snooker, like yes, those angles.
It's all about physics. It's all about putting the racket in the right position and hitting the right
because
shot.
Because it is very hard to redirect the ball, isn't it? You've got
very.
The spin coming at an angle, and the safe choice is to hit it back to where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Rather than suddenly,
she just redirects the ball for breakfast. And not only, she takes the ball so early on the rise. She's constantly taking time away from her opponent.
Well, I get distracted watching her because it is beautiful to watch. But has she got a double-handed forehand and backhand?
As well, yes.
That's a really unusual
it is.
Unusual thing. And a nice temperament. She's a nice...
Oh, wonderful.
So quarterfinals, was it?
That's the best she ever done. She's definitely a person that takes life in a very nice and light way.
Will we be seeing more of her, do you think?
Or
is this
really
just a one-off? And the same with Karatsev. Was that just his moment in the sun, his 15 minutes of fame?
Karatsev was
Aslan Karatsev.
Yeah, pleasant surprise. You see his forehand, they're like missiles.
He gives it a little waggle, which you do. And
boom.
And Kyrgios does it, which really loosens up your arm.
Wow.
And makes you concentrate on your wrist. But yeah,
it's insane.
Fantastic play.
Boom.
This is an awful thing to say, but when I was watching him play in the early rounds, I thought he looked a bit of a stupid player. There didn't seem to be much thought.
I know.
You know how you look at, and it's a complete illusion because he played very clever tennis. But I thought, yeah, there's not much going on there. But it was very intelligent play.
Yep, very determined.
Chose his moments very well to pull the trigger during rallies too. So fantastic. But I will say, and I don't know if you disagree, I'm not expecting him to win any Grand Slams or semifinals or quarterfinals.
I agree with that.
I think he'd do well to stay in the top 50.
He's a bit old and he has to prove himself a bit more. The end of the ATP Cup, when Russia won it, Medvedev had a speech at the end.
Yes.
And he said, that guy over there behind us, Karatsev.
Karatsev.
He was our secret weapon.
Yes.
Yeah, he was
not
our
so secret
weapon.
Now, though,
nobody
is he?
Knew the guy. There's no secrets
not
anymore.
Not so secret. People will be out to beat him.
I liked him. Great tournament.
What an achievement to say that you can reach the semi-final of a
That was
Slam.
Great.
So what do you think was the most exciting match you watched? Maybe not the highest quality. That's a difference. What got you on the edge of your seat?
The most exciting match was...
Shall I name a few to prompt you?
Definitely. Go
All
for
right.
it.
All right. I'm going to choose Kyrgios at Umber. I was working from home while watching it, so I could only watch the major moments.
Yes.
But I didn't get a lot of work done. Really.
Well done.
It really tore me away from my work. I think also Azarenka, her match with Muguruza, always exciting to see someone match points down.
Definitely on the top.
So that was a fantastic one. I think Tsitsipas Nadal was also...
Very good, but there was something there
match.
That was missing.
Evans Norrie was another one of those late-night matches, but it meant the world to them. Evans,
I liked Norrie.
Evans had such a good build-up to the tournament. He won a tournament, and that pressure didn't count in his favour. He was beaten by his friend, a fellow Brit. So any of those appeal to you, or maybe you'll choose another one?
Yeah, I liked all the ones that you said. The most exciting, it's interesting because not a lot of matches were very, very exciting this tournament. I don't know what happened. And that's why I don't remember a lot and I watched so many. But I would say maybe Muguruza versus...
Osaka.
Osaka. That might have been the best.
She was very lucky to get out of that match. Full credit to her. I like Muguruza.
That was probably the best match. I think Sabalenka versus Williams was also very exciting because there were two monsters with loud grunts.
So muscular.
And really, they show their presence. Least exciting match?
Most disappointing match.
Maybe the final? Definitely there.
Yeah.
Djokovic-Medvedev or Tim versus Dimitrov?
Mm-hmm. I have that as winning the most surprising result award. I was very surprised. I found that by accident.
Mm-hmm.
On the ladies' side, maybe the equivalent, though it was a closer match, was Ash Barty, the Australian favourite and world number one. Should she be the world number one?
Good point.
That was a surprise result, and an injury timeout maybe made the difference.
Unbelievable. What is up with these guys, man?
Through her rhythm, Ash Barty playing very well.
What is
then
it
her
with
opponent,
this?
I'm not even going to say her name because I was disappointed by her actions. Plus, I can't remember her name. But Ash Barty's still in the world number one, and that's her only tournament
Another,
she's played in a year.
Yes,
the,
very
the results
strange.
Have been frozen. What about most missed player? Who did you most miss who wasn't
that's
there?
That's very
the tournament?
Easy, isn't it? For us fans, it's Federer. Definitely.
Yeah, I think it would.
Who
I
else
think it
could
have,
it be?
I think it would have to be. I mean, I did think you might say Andy Murray.
I have a question for you about Andy Murray.
Slightly miffed. I would also include Del Potro. I know he hasn't been there for a few tournaments.
But there aren't
many medical bulletins. What's happening? He hasn't retired, has he? I don't think he has.
It's strange, isn't it?
I'm sure I would have heard on my Google alerts, so I miss him. Worst behaved player?
Worst behaved?
Yeah, it's an unwanted award. Who would you give the worst behaved player to?
Wow.
Without the umpire and lines judge making decisions.
There's no worst.
I would say Serena Williams had a habit of winning matches and then doing this shrug and to the camera as if, like, oh, little old me's won another match. And when she won that classic match, the close match against the muscular lady.
Yes.
I think the muscular lady shouted at her coaching team or something, or applauded sarcastically.
Yes.
And Serena Williams shrugged her shoulders like, what was all that about? And that annoyed me.
Oh my God, there was nothing to point out to this tournament exactly because of the new system. I think there's no title for that question. But I would say the worst behaved player was Kyrgios. Not taking some points seriously to achieve better results. That annoyed me.
So how did he do that? Did he give up on games because he was
saving
himself?
No, for example, that volley. He was broken in the fifth set against him by doing a tweener volley. That annoyed me.
On him,
because
he?
I really like him and I want him to do well. So, well, very good to see you again, Jim. It's been a long time. We didn't even meet in the tennis courts these days.
It's been too long, but there is hope. Hopefully a return in April
and we're
to
gonna
official
go back.
Tennis.
Yes.
Not jumping over fences, playing illegally like some reprobates do. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And the Australian Open makes me feel itchy.
Yes,
itchy
exactly.
For playing again. And so, next time we'll have a special on British tennis players because I know you want to talk. We haven't talked about Joe Konta, so I know there's still a lot
so important
we need to talk about.
Absolutely.
So.
And thumbs up or thumbs down to the Australian Open. What do you say?
Oh, God, that's almost another program in itself. I can understand Australian people being annoyed that these pampered tennis players have come over and they moan that they're only allowed outside for 5 hours a day because a lot of us have been stuck inside and don't get out all the time. So I can understand both points of view, but from an entirely selfish point of view, it's cheered my spirits up knowing that I can watch the TV and see some glorious sunshine and see little images of what the world might look like
again
in a month's time.
Agreed.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
So thumbs up for those reasons.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And
thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Stay safe.